God, thank you for this day. Thank you for your goodness, your mercies to us again, allowing us to gather. Pray for your children across the world, those who are striving. Please you, for the brothers in Mexico. Bless them. Help them to serve you. Bless Israel. Bless Floyd and Jessica. Each one of them for us. Bless our gathering this day. Help us to think on you and to be encouraged in your way. Thank you. We do this thing. Okay, today we're ready for the last chapter. Let's begin reading in verse 1. And Judith said, "Beginning him, my God, with tambourines, sing to the Lord with cymbals, lift to him a new song. Exalt him and call upon his name, for God is the Lord who makes wars cease. For into his camps, into the midst of his people, he rescued me from the hands of those pursuing me. The Assyrian descended from the mountains of the north. He came with countless numbers of armies, whose multitude blocked out the rivers, and his cavalry covered the hills. He said he would set my territory on fire and slaughter my young men with the sword, and dash my nursing babies on the ground, and take my children as plunder, and my virgins as spoils of war. But the Lord Almighty has thwarted them by the hand of a woman. For their mighty man did not fall by our young men, nor did the Titan's son strike him down, nor did his tall giant attack him. But Judah, daughter of Merari, in the beauty of her appearance, disabled him. For she took off the garment of her widowhood to exalt those afflicted in Israel, and anoint her face with perfume, and bound her hair with a headband, and put on a linen garment to entice him. Her sandals caught his eyes, her beauty captured his mind, and the sword slashed his neck. The virgins shuddered at her courage, and weeds were discovered at her daring. Then my downhearted people raised the war cry, and the weak ones cried out, and the enemies were terrified. They raised up their voices, and the enemy was overthrown. The sons of the handmaidens stabbed them and wounded them as the offspring of fugitives. They were destroyed by the army of the Lord. I will sing a new song to my God. Great are you, O Lord, glorious, marvelous in power and unsurpassable. Let all your creation serve you, for you spoke and they were created. You sent your spear and you formed them. There is nothing which can resist your voice. For the mountains with the waters shall be shaken at their foundation, and at your presence the rocks shall be melted as beeswax. And yet you are merciful to those who fear you. For every sacrifice is a sweet-smelling offering is like nothing. And the fat in the whole burnt offerings is like nothing to you. But he who fears the Lord is great in all things. Woe to the nations that rise up against my people. The Lord Almighty will punish them on the day of judgment. He will give them to the fire and burn in their flesh. In pain they shall eat forever. When they came to Jerusalem, they worshipped God. And when they were purified, they offered their burnt offerings, freewill offerings, and their gifts. And Judith dedicated all the property of Holofernes that the people gave to her, along with the canopy which she herself had taken from his bedchamber, as a votive offering to God. For 3 months, the people in Jerusalem feasted continually before the sanctuary, and Judith stayed with them.
After these days, everyone returned home, and Judith went to Bethulia and lived at her estate. She was honored throughout the entire country for the rest of her days. Many men desired her, but she married no man during the remaining days of her life, after Manasseh, her husband, died and was buried with his people. She became greatly renowned, and she grew old in the house of her husband until she reached the age of 105 years. She freed her maid, then died in Bethulia. They buried her in the tomb of Manasseh, her husband, and she was mourned by the house of Israel for 7 days. Before her death, she gave her possessions to all who were nearest of kin, to her husband Manasseh, and to her own nearest of kin. And no one again brought fear to the people of Israel in the days of Judah, nor for a long while after she died. So that's the end of the book of Judah. What a good story of how God delivered Israel from their enemies when it looked like they were when it looked like surely their enemies were going to overtake them. There was no hope for them when God delivered them. One thing that I thought about in the story was how we might look at this story, or how people that are taught about religion, for example, what Judith did, the way that she dressed herself up all night to trick the king and put on really nice clothes and perfume. People could look at that and say, well, that's not modest, or that's not what the Bible teaches about how women should behave or how women should dress. And I can imagine that maybe there were even people then that might have looked at that and wondered about it, or might have criticized Judith. We don't know for sure about that. Or even people now that look at the story of Judith and say, well, we don't know about that, because that doesn't fit the way we've come to understand how a godly woman should be, or they might question Judith. Criticize Judith, or criticize the book of Judith. But if you look at all the life of Judith and everything that she did, and how, if it had not been for Judith, that their enemies probably would have overthrown them. But that she was the only one in all that city that knew what she should do, that knew how to resist the enemy, and knew how he should fight, and wasn't going to just give up. And then I just thought, even like how in this chapter, she's saying all these things about herself. She's saying all the things that she did. She's going through in detail, talking about all the things that she did, how she dressed herself up. And you could look at that. She's not a very modest woman. She's really, you could criticize her for doing that. But if you look at all of her life and everything that she did and what she was about, you understand that she loved God. You understand what her purpose was. And even so much that it says at the end of the story that all these men came. Or there were many men that desired to marry her, but she said, no, she's not really insane. So you can see that she wasn't just doing this just to make herself look nice, but just so that other people would admire her, but because she loved God. She was so blessing, and how she died then at 105 years old. So maybe for next week, for your lesson, boys, come up with an example of an elderly person that you know that died
or maybe someone that's still living now, someone that is a godly person, like Judith. That's a godly example in old age.
This week we're supposed to tell about somebody who put their faith to work. And Deborah, when everybody else was scared to fight the army, she went out and led the army to defeat them. And then God helped them kill the army that was attacking them.
Esther was a godly woman, and even from a different country that she grew up in, she was godly.
All of you brethren put in faith to build the church here.
I got when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in Babylon, they in a foreign land, they still practiced what was right, like they didn't eat the meat from the king's table like everybody else did, and they kept the Jewish laws, and they didn't bow down to the idol when everybody else did it. Then they got thrown in the fiery furnace, and God rescued them.
I got Ananias. He got a vision that he should go to Paul and pray for him and have him converted, and he told him about him, and he said to God that he was widely known in that area, that he would kill Christians, and but God told him to do it anyway, and he did it. Paul became one of the great teachers.
I thought of Daniel when he was thrown in the lion's den. He had faith that God would take care of him, and the next morning when the king came to see if he was okay, the king got him out of there, and he threw the bad man into the den, and then turn to the Lord.
In the Maccabees, there was a woman that with seven sons that they refused to eat the swine's flesh, and the king, the wicked king, was trying to was having them whipped until they would eat it, but then they said they would rather die before they forsake the laws of their father and. Fathers and so one by one they persecuted them and killed them in front of everybody else, and then in a terrible way, and until the mother at the last, and they all died that way.
Nehemiah went to rebuild Jerusalem, he went to rebuild, and that took faith and to do that. And when there was opposition, he had faith, and they got it completed.
In Acts chapter 4 and 5, Peter and John were arrested for preaching in the temple. And they were told, strictly warned, not to teach in the name of the Lord or in the name of Jesus. But they told them that they should better obey God than the Jewish leaders. And they went and kept on teaching in the temple, even though they knew that they were putting their lives in danger.
Marcus and Narcissa Whitman went out west and preached to the Indians, and they forsook everything, and they knew probably they would never come back, and so then the Indians killed them years later.
I was just thinking about Noah, or not Noah, the Anabaptist.
Yeah.
The Anabaptist, they had faith and had faith to press on to the inner kingdom, and when their brothers and sisters were getting murdered and getting drowned and hung by all the so-called godly people of the church, but they had faith and pressed on to the kingdom.
This thing about the early Christians, how they put their faith in God, and they didn't really understand it all at the time, and they put their faith in God, although they were executed, and some of them would escape, but although they were executed, they still put their faith in God.
I was thinking about putting our thoughts into actions, and I was just thinking about the various parables that Christ used, like the parable of the talents, and how that he gave talents to each man, but the one man had an excuse that he was afraid, and so he buried his talent. And I just thought of those other men, and they may have had other things they wanted to do in life, but they put their minds to it, and they increased what the Lord gave them. And I also thought of the parable of the 10 virgins, the 5 foolish and the 5 wise. The 5 wise just saw that they needed oil in their lamps because they needed light. But the 5 foolish were just intent on sleeping and just being lazy. And then later they realized that they needed it. And then I also thought of the marriage supper of the Lamb. How each man had an excuse. They had something else they wanted to do, and so they couldn't come. And then I thought about how the refrigerator, it gets full of rotten stuff, and you keep saying, well, maybe tomorrow I'll clean it out. And you just, it keeps getting worse and worse, and that's how Olin and our refrigerator was. And one morning I'm just like, it's not going to take but a couple seconds to go and throw the rotten stuff out, and I'll go on with my day, and that makes the refrigerator nice. And I just thought of that in life, how it's amazing how you can procrastinate about something and come up with excuses, but all you got to do is throw it out, get it out of the refrigerator. And the point is, getting to that place, when you're actually doing it, it's not that bad. And you may have excuses, but as long as we get it done in the end, that's what counts.